Let's go in our Bibles now to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. And today we are going to be reading and looking at verses 9 through 11, just three short verses, and yet they are a very rich section. The old hymn writer said, "All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his life for man to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." And that old hymn well restates the truth of this passage. Christ died in obedience to God, and he is exalted of God, and shall be and ought to be exalted by us. Remember, though, that the exaltation of Christ is tied to his obedient sufferings for others. And we ought to understand that the humiliation of Christ brought him exaltation. And the same truth is there in the lives of Christians. The way up is not the way of self-aggrandizement. The way up is the way of humble service. As we serve others humbly, God will exalt us. And so let's first look at the basis of Christ's exaltation. It says here at verse number 9, "Wherefore." There it is giving us a reason that this is there. What is the reason for the things that are going to follow? The reason for the things that are going to follow are the things that were given to us before. What was given to us before? That Christ was willing to be humble. That he who was and is God was willing to take upon himself human flesh and thus give up that free exercise of his rights and privileges as God, and that he was willing to humble himself and become obedient even unto death. Now, we as people, we all recognize we're going to die. You know, it's a rare thing, you know, in the life of young people that most of them don't even realize, you know, they're going to die. Well, by the time they're 6 or 7, many of them start to come to that realization that there's death. Maybe it's a pet that dies. Maybe it's an older grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or something that passes away. And they come to that realization fairly early in life that part of life is there's going to be an end. There's a beginning to life and there's an end to life. And we teach that to all the kids as we go through in science class. And I can always remember in science in sixth grade where I would teach them about these principles of what is life and all those kinds of things. And I would tell them, you know, that everybody who eats carrots dies. And there would always be some student who would say, "Yes, I knew it. I knew Mom was giving me those terrible vegetables and they were killing me. I'm going home to..." And I'll keep going on and I'll keep going, and eventually, you know, I get it to where the whole class realizes that, yeah, we all die. I mean, it's a sad truth, but it is a fact. We are born and we are going to die. And so Christ here was willing to die. But for us, that's just the inevitable. We have no other choice but to die. But Jesus was sinless. He did not have to die in human flesh. He could have lived on forever in human flesh. He was God. God is life. He cannot die. And this is the great mystery that is laid out before us, that he who is life himself, who said, "I am the way, the truth, the life," could in fact die for us. He was willing to do that. How horrible was that as he faced going ahead in realizing that he was going to have to take that cup of death for us. How it caused him such great pain, and it's the scriptures say he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was willing to be, he was willing to die for us. And so what is the basis of Christ's exaltation? The basis of his exaltation is his willingness to humbly take upon himself the form of a servant, to then live an obedient life, and then die for us. That is the basis of his exaltation. And you know, he lays out for us an example. And the apostle is using this passage as an example to the Philippians to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If Christ had this mind, should not we also have this mind? If he had the mind of one who was willing to be humble, to say to himself that I'm not going to hold on to my authority and hold on to my position and make sure everybody calls me by the right title and all of those sorts of things. He was willing to humble himself, and he was willing to be obedient unto the will of God, and he was willing to do exactly what God wanted him to do. They go to the cross. Then should not we also live humbly? Should not we also not be concerned about titles and whether people are holding us up and exalting us and magnifying us and all of those kinds of things? Should not we also live obedient to Christ? Should we not also give our life in service for others? Yea, giving our life in service to Christ, which the apostle says in Romans is our reasonable service. Should we not do these things? Certainly we should. Why? Because not only it is reasonable, but because there is an exaltation to follow. Those who are willing to be humble, those who are willing to be obedient, those who are willing to give their life in service for Christ will find that God will also highly exalt us. There is a glorious heaven to gain. And so we see the basis of Christ's exaltation. Secondly, we see the source of Christ's exaltation. It is also given to us there in verse 9. Wherefore, God. God is the source of Christ's exaltation. Christ's exaltation ultimately refers to his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification, and his seating at the right hand of God. This is gone over in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and verse number 33. It tells us this in Acts 2:33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So the Apostle Peter, in talking there on the day of Pentecost, is explaining what is going on and how Christ was exalted to the very right hand of God and sent out to us the Spirit. Now in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the writer says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged himself, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so there we see Christ is exalted. And so this is the nature of the exaltation. He finished the work. He ascended back to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is there now as God on the throne. And so this is the exaltation of Christ. It is the source of this comes from God. Folks, we ought not be seeking self-exaltation. There are so many that go along in the name of Christ who are out there trying to seek self-exaltation. Now, I'm thankful for all the wonderful godly pastors that I know in this area who are, you know, humbly serving the Lord and doing the work of Christ and just love the Savior and, you know, put others before themselves, and they're not seeking glory or self-exaltation. Praise God for all of those. But there's a lot of charlatans out there, too, that are on the internet, that are on the TV, that are telling you that, you know, send us money, send us stuff, send us all of these things. And they're just looking to build up themselves. And unfortunately, sometimes even within the church, people are, you know, trying to uphold their position. And, well, you can't do that. That's my position. You're interfering with me. And that's not be the attitude of people in the church of God. We ought not be lifting up ourselves. We rather should be seeking God's glory. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do ought to be for his glory. It ought not be for our glory. And if any praise comes to us, then it ought to be laid at the feet of Jesus, because he's enabled us. It is he who enables us. It's he who strengthens us. It's he who gave us the Spirit of God, who gives us the abilities to do the work. It's he, the Spirit of God, who builds within us the fruits of the Spirit so that we can look good. It is the work of God's Spirit. And so who ought to get all the praise? God ought to get all the praise. And if there's anything that is bad and needs to be said bad, well, then that's what ought to come to me, because I am deserving of all the bad, and he is deserving of all the glory. Let Christ be praised. Seek God's glory. Strive to be a servant just like our Savior. You know, Jesus did not come to be waited upon. He came to serve other people. He came to be a waiter. He came to care for other people. He served them. He helped them. He ministered to them. He met their needs. He taught them the Word of God. He showed them the right and good way wherein they should walk. And that is what we're to do. We are to strive to be servants of Christ. We are to strive to be like our Savior, serving tirelessly for the Lord. Now, I know sometimes we get weary, but we need not be weary in well-doing. We need to keep serving the Lord. We need to keep going forward. We need to be like Christ. Allow God to reward as he sees fit. Don't seek rewards now. God will take care of the rewards. You do what God's called you to do. You get in your job and you work as hard as you can for the glory of Christ, serving not men, but the Savior. And you do that to God's glory, and God will take care of the rewarding. You don't need to promote yourself. You don't need to step on other people to get ahead. You don't need to lie and cheat and steal and do all those things to get ahead. You need to act like our Savior. Trust the Lord. You serve God, and you do it your work to the best of your ability. And you know, that even applies to the young people as you're in school. I know you're like, I don't want to be in school. I don't want to do this stuff. It's so boring. I don't care. Why do I need to know this stuff? All of these questions, all these kinds of things are said by students. I've heard it all. I know you say these kinds of things. I know that's the feeling. But do you realize that is the job God has given you to do? This is your job. And so your hands are there. This is the responsibility that is before you. And the scripture says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. This is where God's put your hands. So get in there with your body and get in there with your mind and study to the best of your ability and do your best and learn to the best of your ability. You know, not everybody can be an A student. Not everybody can master everything perfectly, but we can all do our best. And we ought to be giving our best for the Savior. And as we do, we will find the rewards will come in. Now, let us notice, thirdly, the nature of Christ's exaltation. He says, God hath highly exalted him. God has highly exalted him. He has given him the highest place. One writer said that this word could be translated as super exalted. Christ has been placed superly exalted above all others. There is no one like him. He is to be given the highest place. He was given that of God. So let me ask you, does he have that of you? Have you given Christ that super exalted position in your life? Or do you hold on and say, well, you know, I'll decide what I want to do. Who gets the exaltation in your life? Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. John chapter 14 and verse 2. Isn't that wonderful that he has gone to heaven to prepare for you a place? God has given him the highest place, but he's making a place for you. That says something important, doesn't it? We ought to give him the highest place in our life. If he cares enough about us to give us a place. See, and often we think of that place as just being in the sense of a location. But Jesus was given the highest place. He was given that highest position. And God has a position, a place for us. What a blessing that Jesus would do that for us. We ought to give him the highest place in our life. He is also, it says, given a name above every name. A name above every name. In John chapter 17 and verse number 5, John 17, 5, it says this, "And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." There in Christ's high priestly prayer, he asked to be given that glorious name. And God answers that. The name here refers to his person. It refers to his character. It's not just giving an identifier so as to separate him from others. It is telling us who he is. It is giving us his nature. The name that he has given is not Jesus. He was given that at his birth. His name shall be called Jesus. That was his name given at birth. That's not the name that's given. The name here that's given is Lord. He is now God Almighty. Now, that doesn't mean he wasn't God, but he is. He is now identified as the Lord of the Old Testament. So when it speaks of him in the Old Testament and we see that word L-O-R-D, you know, the Lord, we know that that is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is given that name, a name above every name. There is no other name like the name that was given to Moses there at the mount when he said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And God said, "My name is," and the Hebrews translated, "the Lord." Well, yes, he is the Lord. He is Yahweh. And that is who Jesus is. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord. He is given a name that is above every name. Now, if he is the Lord, then should not we make sure he is the Lord? Is he actually the Lord in our life? Does he make the determinations as what we do every day? Are we considerate of him? Are we walking with him and thinking about what would the Lord have me to do now? What would the Lord have me to say now? How would the Lord have me to respond in this circumstance? Or do we let ourselves make those decisions? And I know how hard it is to be thinking moment by moment that the Lord is Lord. How easy it is for us to let the flesh get in the way. We need to let the Lord be Lord. Now, God also has given us a name. Do you know that? He has given you a name. You realize you have been adopted into the family of God. When we get saved, we're adopted into God's family. Romans 8:27, Revelation 21:7. We are taken into the very family of God. And so if we have a name, the name of a Christian, it's placed upon us. We are God's servants. We have the name of God. We need to live in a way that is going to show forth his true nature. We ought not bring reproach upon the name of the Lord, because when people look at us and they say, "Oh, okay, they're a Christian, so that's what a Christian's like." Who are we really bringing reproach upon? We're really bringing reproach upon Christ. We're not letting the glory of God be seen. We're not doing all things to his glory. We're living for self, and we're bringing reproach upon the name of the Lord. By fact, we who are living wrong like that are causing blasphemy to go to the name of the Lord by our actions. What a horrible thing when we use the name of God wrongly. And so we must be careful. We must be very careful, because Christ has been given a name which is above every name. In verse 10, it says he is given obeisance, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The things that are in heaven, and I think maybe things there might be an unfortunate translation. I don't think it's necessarily referring to, you know, all the substance. It's talking about the beings, and because in verse 11 it says, "And every tongue should confess." So it's talking about people. It's talking about human beings. It's talking about angels. It's talking about everyone that is. Doesn't matter where you are, whether you're on the earth, under the earth, or above the earth. If you're in heaven above, you're in hell below, you're on the earth here right now. Let everyone that has a voice, everyone that has a tongue, bow their face to the Lord and give obedience unto him. Back in the book of Isaiah in chapter 45 and verse 23. We read this in Isaiah 45, 23. He says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Here the Apostle Paul is quoting that passage, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and applying it directly to him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The whole of the world shall bow before God. All that is shall bow before him. We see some more of that in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. In Romans 14 and verse number 10, it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You see, we are to live differently. And again, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, we read this. And every creature that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Yes, every name, every knee is to bow, and everyone is to obey and give obeisance unto the Lord. We too have been crowned with glory and honor, as it says there in Psalm 8. What a blessing that God would extend some measure of this glory that is Christ to us. How blessed are we. Let us therefore return that glory unto the Lord. Let us bow before him and ever serve him faithfully. In verse 11, he is given verbal acknowledgement that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue shall say, as God says, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Jehovah God. He is very God of very God. That is who he is, God of God. There is none other. The name given among men whereby you must be saved. And what a blessing that we can give to him verbal acknowledgement that we can praise him, and we ought to. Praise ye the Lord. Let everyone that has voice praise the Lord. You know, I really do think Satan's involved in some of these sicknesses that are going around, because, you know, he's got us now where we can't serve the Lord. We can't be together. Where the scripture says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now we can't assemble. And then he's shown that the source of a lot of these viruses is church choirs. Okay, so let's not have singing. Well, you know what? I think that's a work of the devil. He doesn't want God's people to praise the name of the Lord. So I don't know what we're going to do when we get back into church, how we're going to do the church choir and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we'll have to get us a cone of safety around every singer. I don't know. But whatever we're going to do, we're going to praise the Lord. I can tell you that. We're going to praise God. We're going to sing praise to his name, and we are going to give praise unto the Lord. We are to praise the Lord. If every tongue is going to acknowledge him, should not our tongues acknowledge him? Should not that praise on the Lord be upon our lips day by day? As the scriptures say, the praise of our lips, even giving thanks unto him. So let our hearts be overflowing with thanksgiving and our lips overflowing with praise unto the Lord. And then the last thing that is laid out in this passage is, it is to Christ given to be the bringer of glory to God the Father. Here at the end of verse 11, it says, to the glory of God the Father. By Christ being exalted, it brings glory unto God the Father. Paul lays this out a little more fully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. In 1 Corinthians 15, 24, it says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall be the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so this is the process that is laid out by which Christ will bring all glory and praise will be brought unto him, that every knee shall bow, that all the world shall be brought under him, and he shall deliver the kingdom up to God, and God shall be all in all. He is going to be the one that brings glory to God. And you know, that is what we ought to be doing too, bringing glory to God. We do this with our lips, and we do this with our humble and obedient service. And in this passage, Paul is stressing the humble, obedient service. So let us be sure that this is going on. Let us not look every man on his own things, but let us look every man on the things of others. Let the mind of Christ be in us. He was willing to be humbled so that he might be exalted, not for his own glory, but so that he might bring all of that glory to God, so that God might be all in all. I know this is a mysterious and powerful passage, that there's a lot of depth there, and it speaks of Christ almost in a sense of being less than God, and I don't want to give that impression at all. He is God and very God. And yet it shows us that he brings all glory unto God. What a mystery is there. If within the Trinity this is going on, should not we as his people bring glory to God? Let us have the mind of Christ. Let us exalt the Savior who is bringing all of that unto God. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that we could look into your word today and be encouraged thereby. And Lord, I know we were somewhat discouraged over the fact that we could not meet this Sunday as we had hoped, and we were desirous of meeting. And yet, Lord, we know that you have worked out all things perfectly after the counsel of thine own will. We ask you, dear Lord, now to strengthen and encourage our hearts. Help us, Lord, to go out into this community and glorify God before a world that is in need, to uplift him, to exalt him, to show Christ to be all in all. May the message of the gospel go forward from our lips. And Lord, we pray for thy blessing, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, we trust you have a great afternoon, and as you serve the Lord, think about the wonderful blessings that Christ has given, and we look forward to seeing you back again tonight. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 33. What a beautiful passage there, as Moses wants to know God, and not that be the desire of our heart, to know God. Hope to see you again at 6. God bless. Have a great afternoon.